"He's scared, Chelsea," Malachi told her, compassion filling his expression as his arm curved around Isabel's waist and pulled her to him. "You're his daughter, his far too courageous child. He was watching the report of the attack as it happened. The nightmares he's having aren't even waiting for him to go to sleep. They're flashing through his mind as we speak." Chelsea blinked back the tears, the knowledge of her father's pain as well as her own tearing at her.
"I know that, Malachi," she retorted painfully, as she looked away from him, hating that both he and Cullen no doubt could sense every emotion tearing through her now. "But asking me to be anyone besides who I am is the same as killing me anyway."
She shoved her hands into the pockets of her jeans and shook her head, her lips trembling in a flood of emotion she fought to control.
"And what hurts the most is that every one of you would change me if you could."
"Wrong," Malachi assured her, his tone firm, though no less gentle. "I wouldn't change you, and neither would your sister. But it won't stop any of us from worrying.
Or from aching in grief if we lost you," Isabel told her, her voice thick with the tears she was holding back.
Moving to her, her sister gave her a quick hug before taking her husband's hand and leaving the house. Her grandfather patted her shoulder, his dark gaze as fathomless as the oceans.
"Your courage terrifies your father, just as his sisters once did. It isn't your courage he would change, but the dangers that would harm you."
He sighed heavily, patted her back consolingly, and smiled with loving strength.
"The winds have always called your name, whispering across the lands as they called you to defend those others would harm. Now, allow those you would fight for to do the same."
Yeah, that was her grandfather, a riddle within a puzzle, she thought wearily, watching him leave the house. When the door closed behind him, she turned to Cullen, feeling the tension radiating from him.
"No sage advice? You may as well. Everyone else is dispensing it," she whispered,
fighting to keep her chin from trembling with the realization that there was no way to win this particular battle. Just by being who she was, what she longed to be, she was breaking her family's heart and giving her father waking nightmares. Wasn't that a nice piece of information?
"Let me get over my own sense of terror first," he told her, a growl in his voice. "Your father saw it unfold? I was there, and my guts are still cramped with the memory of it. Maybe I can come up with sage advice later."
"You just do that, Cullen."
Her breath hitched as she felt herself losing control of the tears threatening to fill her eyes.
"I'm going to shower. Maybe by the time I finish, I can find a way to deal with the fact that there's not a damned person that I care about willing to accept me for who and what I am."
Lucky fucking me. Turning away from him, she hurried from the room, swiping at the tear that fell to her cheek. She hated crying. Hated it. Just as she hated the guilt that always came with those tears. For 10 years, she'd fought to find a way to come to terms with her needs and her family's fears. And she'd failed. She hadn't demanded a position with covert ops in the agency. She'd actually bargained more often for command and logistics. She knew that being in the thick of danger was something her family couldn't handle, and she'd tried to balance her needs with theirs. It hadn't happened, though. Cullen had refused her a job in command, and her application to the nation's police force had been rejected by the board, who, incidentally, were all close friends of her father's. The private security agency she'd applied to had demanded references, and Cullen had refused to give them. They had made the decision for her. She hadn't made it. Rule Breaker had been willing to take a chance on her, though,
And now something or someone was screwing that up for her. Son of a bitch. It was a simple operation. Information gathering. That was all it was. And she was careful. Damned careful. Even Ashley and Cassie had agreed that there was no way she could have given herself away. Yet she'd been attacked twice now, and the latest skirmish was more violent than even she was comfortable with. She could handle someone coming at her with a knife. But drug cartel members and automatic rifles in the middle of Window Rock? The implications of it were terrifying. She didn't want her family's fear, and she didn't want their advice. It would have been extremely nice if just one of them, just one, had realized that her terror went far deeper than theirs, and it was rooted in far more than her fear of losing any one person. Just because she wasn't shaking and wailing in hysteria didn't mean her insides weren't trembling with fear now. They were. And for a moment out there, all she'd wanted was someone, just one of them, to realize that she wasn't entirely stupid or without a sense of terror at the thought of what could have happened. Adjusting the shower water, she stripped and stepped in, almost moaning at the feel of the heated water sliding with silky warmth over her sensitive body. It didn't wash away the fear. It didn't wash away the hurt. But it damned sure eased the aches and pain just a bit. Just enough that when she closed her eyes and let the tears fall, she didn't have to worry that she appeared weak. There was no one to see the tears, but then there never was, even the man who was supposed to be her mate. As that thought whispered through her mind, a brush of cool air had her eyes jerking open before they widened at the sight of Cullen, naked and furiously aroused as he stepped in the shower. Instead of pulling her into one of those deep, drugging kisses, though, he just pulled her into his arms. One hand cupped the back of her head, holding her to his chest, as the other wrapped around her back, securing her against him.
"I have you,"
he whispered, his voice low and heavy with a sense of despair. There was no holding the tears back now. With his chest beneath her cheek and the water flowing around them, she let them fall. Silently. Painfully. He might not agree. He might not like it. But for once in her life, she wasn't alone. And how, in God's name, had he known she felt that way?
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. So please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Wake a Sleeping Tiger by Laura Lee. Read for you by Brianna Bronte. Chapter 13. From Graham's Journal, The Recessed Primal Breed.
There is nothing more precious to the primal breed than his mate, and he will protect that mate with an unequaled savagery.
Chelsea came awake slowly, aware of Cullen's hard body as he lay beside her, her head resting against his chest. After the storm of tears had passed that afternoon, he'd washed her gently, dried her, then tucked her into bed, and held her against him as she fell asleep. Exhaustion, both emotional and physical, had overwhelmed her as the adrenaline eased from her system. She hadn't felt fear in the moment of the attempted abduction, just as she had when she found Louisa and when the coyote attacked. Her mind had stayed clear, her training kicking in as she fought to eliminate the threat. It was after the adrenaline plunged that the waves of terror crashed over her. The last time, she'd been alone. She'd held herself through the storm, her arms wrapped across her chest as she curled in her lonely bed. She hadn't been alone this time, though. Cullen had been there with her, and it was his arms that held her, his understanding that brought her through the storm. Now she was surrounded by the warmth of his powerful body, shielded and protected. There were nights she'd ached for this over the years, ached for him. Nights when she'd stared into the darkness of her lonely bedroom with a bleak acceptance that it was something she would never know. Being here now, feeling the power and strength of him as she rested against him, Chelsea still wasn't certain exactly how she was supposed to handle it, or if she could believe in it. Breeds only mated once, he'd told her. If either of them lost the other, then they'd be alone. She'd been alone so long, though, that she didn't know if she knew how to be a part of anyone else, even though she longed to be a part of Cullen. Waking next to him felt really nice, though. He was warm, powerful, and she ached for him. The emotional storm earlier that day had dulled the need, her exhaustion pulling her into sleep. She was awake now, and she wanted him. She needed him. Every cell in her body felt overly sensitive as the building, sensual need tightened through her with an ache only Cullen could assuage. And that wasn't just mating heat. That need for him had been her reality for years. She had always known that only Cullen could ease the needs that plagued her. "The heart wants what it wants," her father had once told her, and her heart had always been set on Cullen. From the moment she'd first seen him that night when he'd been brought to the nation, a part of her had belonged to him. Lifting her hand from where it lay against his chest, she let her fingers caress the bronzed expanse of tough flesh covering tense muscle. Heat radiated from his flesh as she stroked him softly. Trailing her fingers over his chest, learning the feel of it, sensing the power contained with it, she felt her breathing and her heart rate accelerate. The response sweeping through her own body still had the power to shock her. Even before waking, her breasts were swollen, her nipples peaked with the need for touch. Between her thighs, the folds of her sex were slick and hot, her clit aching, and the inner tissue clenched and rippling with hungry need.
"You're finally awake,"
he whispered, his voice a rasp of hungry, aroused male.
"I was wondering how much longer I could wait."
"You were waiting for me, huh?"
She couldn't help the grin that curled her lips. "I was wondering where your legendary patience had gone." An amused quirk of his lips met her gaze as she propped herself on an elbow to stare down at him in the dim light of the room. His green eyes were heavy-lidded, his expression filled with lazy male sensuality.
"My patience went right out the damned window when you left,"
he said, his gaze turning somber as he reached up with one hand to cup the side of her neck.
"I think my agents are ready to revolt on me. Ranger mostly just glares at me now."
"You've been a grouch again?"
she asked, remembering his reputation for it before she came to work for him.
"And here I thought you were doing so much better."
"You left me, Chelsea,"
he reminded her, exerting just enough pressure at her neck to draw her lips to his.
"You can't do that again. Never again."
His lips whispered over hers, stroking, rubbing, and then his head tilted, his lips parted, and he deepened the touch with hungry demand. The taste of cinnamon infused her senses as his tongue rubbed against hers, encouraging her to taste him deeper. And she did. She loved the taste of his kiss, that subtle heat, the pleasure that coursed through her senses, and the low, rough male groan that rumbled from his chest. Pulling her head back to catch a breath while she still had enough sense to do it, she stared into the marked, sexual need gleaming in his eyes. With a drowsy, sensual look, she flicked her tongue out to touch her lip suggestively, her hunger for him growing in demand as he pulled her to him once again. Her nipples brushed against his chest, the peaks hardening further, becoming so sensitive it was nearly painful. Blood thundered in her head, through her body, a gasp escaping her as his lips covered hers again with desperate, hungry need. Capturing his tongue as it pressed inside, Chelsea drew the spicy taste from it, moaning at the incredible pleasure racing through her. Cullen had one hand buried in her hair and caressed up and down her back with the other, stroking the pleasure and need higher and hotter. It wasn't just his kiss, or whatever chemical reaction it caused. It wouldn't matter how he touched her, as long as he touched her. Let her touch him. She had yearned for him for years, ached for him. Let him believe this hunger was some fault of nature, of his genetics, if that was what he wanted to believe. She knew better. She knew it had to be so much more. He needed her touch just as badly as she needed his. It had to be more than lust. He had to feel more than simple sexual need. Otherwise, she'd be loving him in vain. And that she couldn't bear. Forcing herself back from his kiss, she stared down at him, her breathing as rough as his. A brick red flush ran along his cheekbones as he stared back at her, his gaze drowsy and far too sexy. There was more in his gaze than just lust. She'd seen just lust many times in other men's eyes. There was passion there, and something more. Something that connected inside her heart and sent a rush of pleasure sweeping through her.
"Are you going to stare at me all night?"
His lips quirked as his brow lifted arrogantly. Chelsea licked her lips, that need that swept over her impossible to resist.
"Let me touch you, Cullen," she whispered, lowering her lips to his hard jaw, kissing her way to his neck.
She let her tongue taste the strong column of his neck, let her teeth rake over it as he had done to hers. He tensed beneath her, his muscular body hardening in response to her nibbling caresses and slow, licking tastes. As she slid down his body, the feel of the perspiration gathering on his skin, his heavy breathing, sent a thrill rushing through her. She gloried in his response to her touch, in the feel of his cock throbbing against her thigh as she moved closer to him.
"However you want to, sweetheart. Anytime you want to,"
he breathed out, the sound a rough rasp as he buried his fingers in her hair.
"I'm all yours."
God, she wished that were true.
Moving her lips to his hard chest, she found the flat hard disc of a male nipple. The salt and male taste of him exploded against her taste buds. His flesh was just as hot and wild as his kiss. Steel hard muscles flexed and rippled beneath her lips, lean and powerful. Sweat gleamed on his bronze flesh, giving him a sex god appearance that threatened to steal her breath. She lifted her gaze and met his narrowed one, pleasure and hunger gleaming in the green depths. As she watched him, she licked from one hard male nipple to the other before grazing them with her teeth. Touching him was the hottest, sexiest experience of her life. Her pussy was weeping from the erotic experience. Her juices spilled to the swollen folds, heating her clit until it throbbed with torturous need. Lifting herself close, she straddled his hard thigh, crying out as her clit swelled further and her juices dampened his flesh.
"Fuck, Chelsea. You're killing me, baby,"
he growled, the rough sound another stroke against her senses. She was loving him, giving him with her touch what she knew he would refuse to hear. This was all she had, the only way she could show him the depth of what she felt for him. As she took her kisses lower, the need to taste him, to love him,
to fill her mouth with the hard male heat of him intensified inside her.
I love how you taste,
she whispered, powerless against the needs rocking through her.
Like the desert, so strong and hot.
She licked over his abdomen, ignoring the thick, pulsing head of his cock as his fingers tugged at her hair. The little bite of heat against her scalp was exquisite. Tugging and pulling, the heated caress sent flames streaking through her senses as his hips arched, the head of his cock grazing her lips. She let herself lick over it, drawing a rough, rumbling groan from his chest. She moved lower and stroked her tongue slowly down the shaft to the base, then to the tightly drawn sack just below the stiff flesh. Cullen jerked beneath her, a grating curse leaving his lips as she licked firmly. Her tongue stroked, caressed. The hot male taste of him was intoxicating. His obvious pleasure at her touch only drove her own need higher. Her womb spasmed as he growled her name, his voice rougher, huskier than before. Moving higher, Chelsea trailed her tongue up the violently erect shaft, feeling the blood pounding through the heavy veins. His fingers were locked in her hair, his thighs tense and steel hard. Just above the engorged crest of his cock, a bead of sweat trailed down his tight abdomen as it flexed in response to her touch. Parting her lips over his cockhead, she took it in her mouth, slowly. Her gaze lifted again, watched the pleasure and male hunger gleaming in his eyes. His gaze was locked on her mouth and the engorged crest as it disappeared inside. Sweat beaded on his neck, his hard jaw. His lips drew back in a grimace of pleasure, exposing the canines that appeared a bit longer. His eyes were darker, the jungle green color burning and wild.
Suck it,
he snarled, the hard, graveled demand stroking over her senses.
Damn you, I've dreamed of your lips wrapped around my dick.
The taste of his pre-cum spilling to her lips made her feel drunk on the pleasure racing through her. Her lips tightened around the crest, sucking at it firmly as he filled her mouth. The feel of the silky, steel-hard head of his cock throbbing furiously as she sucked at it drew a moan from her lips. Flickering her tongue over it, beneath it, she could feel her clit approaching meltdown. Her pussy was soaked from her need for him, her juices spilling to the sensitive folds and dampening her thighs.
I won't come in your mouth.
He gritted out as the crest flexed warningly at the back of her throat.
You want to make me crazy?
His hands moved from her hair, gripped her head, and pulled her up forcibly.
Ride me. Come here, baby, and fuck me until we're both crazy.
She eased up his body, straddled his thighs, and whimpered with anticipation as the folds of her pussy parted for the wide, blunt head.
That's it, Chelsea,
he groaned, a grimace of pleasure contorting his face.
Ride my cock with that hot little pussy.
Sensations spasmed through her womb at the explicit demand. Erotic and filled with male pleasure, it reached inside her, increasing the sensuality of the act. His hands gripped her hips, guiding her as his cock began pushing inside the rippling entrance of her sex. The fiery stretch of her flesh as she impaled herself on the heavy stalk dragged a desperate cry from her lips. Cullen's hand stroked from her hips to her breasts, his fingers finding her painfully sensitive nipples. He exerted just enough pressure against them to send sensation screaming over her nerve endings. Her hips jerked, lowered, desperate to fill herself with the hard length of his cock. Her hands flattened against his chest, whimpering cries escaping from her throat. She knew what she wanted. Needed.
Throwing her head back, Chelsea lifted again, taking him deeper with each downward push of her hips. Burning pleasure surged through her, stole her breath. Streaking fire raced from her nipples as his fingers pressed and tugged at them firmly. Those same flames tore a path to the tight depths of her pussy, the inner tissue spasming around his erection as she finally worked it into the hilt. Cullen bucked beneath her, driving his hips upward as his hands moved quickly to her thighs to hold her to him. She could feel his cock throbbing inside her, stretching her, possessing her. Need swiftly overcame any desire to relish the sensations. Chelsea was burning from the inside out, the need for orgasm quickly stealing her control. And his. Cullen thrust upward as she lifted herself, fucking her in hard, driving thrusts. Each impalement, each stroke inside the too-sensitive channel, stoked the insanity of a hunger burning through both their control. Moving with him, riding the brutally hard shaft, she let herself fall into the storm overtaking them. Her hands moved to his hard biceps, her nails biting into the tense muscles as she felt her body tightening. Her pussy rippled around each driving stroke, and the world exploded around her. Her senses ruptured, and her body jerked, writhed, as each powerful contraction of ecstasy tore through her. Beneath her, Cullen drove inside her harder, buried to the hilt, growling her name, and a heartbeat later, the pulse of his release and hardening length of the feline barb locking inside her pushed her higher, tossing her into a cataclysm that she knew she'd never fully recover from. Dawn was several hours from breaking when Cullen awoke, his body vibrating with restlessness and a renewed arousal for the woman sleeping at his side. Erect and throbbing, his cock demanded a repeat of the pleasure he'd found with Chelsea. She was sleeping deeply now, though, lying bonelessly on her stomach, her breathing deep, and a sense of peace surrounding her. Hell, she had always had that sense of calm, of peace that filled the air around her. It was one of the reasons he'd tried to keep her in the office. She had a way of keeping the whole team on an even keel, no matter how high the frustration level rose. Rather than waking her, though, he quietly gathered some clothes and quickly showered. Dressing, he checked in on her again, almost grinning at the fact that she hadn't so much as shifted her position and headed to the kitchen for coffee. He'd no more than stepped from his bedroom to the short hall leading to the rest of the house when he paused. There wasn't a particular scent per se that alerted him to the intruder. It was that absence of scent that identified the breed waiting for him. He wasn't surprised when he stepped into the kitchen to find Graham waiting for him. He'd actually expected his brother the night before. What did surprise him was the primal he faced instead. He hadn't seen the monster his brother could become since Graham had mated the young woman the two of them had raised in the labs they were confined to as boys. The primal markings bisected Graham's face, like the stripes of the Bengal across bronzed flesh. Blood-tipped claws had emerged from beneath the very human fingernails, pushing past the flesh, curved and lethally sharp as they rested on the table. Wild, jade-green eyes gleamed brilliantly from within the stripes, the glow of color like jade fire in the dimly lit room. This was the breed that most who saw him never lived to tell the tale about. This was the insanity of a creature pushed to such preternatural rage that even nature itself had no power over him. Graham? Cullen greeted him warily as he moved to the coffee maker and placed two cups beneath the brewing spouts.
Everything okay?
He didn't fear the monster, but neither was he foolish enough to push its unpredictable temper when he wasn't pissed off himself. Graham's fingers flexed against the table, wickedly sharp claws digging deep indents in the wood as the battle to control the monster was reflected on his face.
We go hunting.
The guttural, animalistic voice had the power to send chills up the spines of those facing the rage of this creature. Colin had never feared the creature, though. He watched it warily. At one time, he'd feared the destruction it could wreak on others, but he'd never feared it personally.
What happened?
Only Cat, and any risk to her, could pull the monster free now that Graham had secured his mate. He would have been alerted, though, if anything had happened to Graham's mate, or if any danger threatened her, which left Cullen a little confused as to the reason for the primal's visit. Graham's nails scraped the table again, a low, dangerous growl rumbling in his chest as Cullen waited for an explanation. Or explosion. Either was possible.
We go for Cervez.
The monster's voice grated.
Now!
Surprise caused Cullen to stare at his brother more intently now, as bemusement filled him.
This appearance.
He waved his hand toward his brother to indicate the primal Graham had set free.
Is because of the Cervez attack?
That dangerous, rough growl sounded again as an enraged grimace curled at Graham's lips.
Attack?
Graham snarled.
An ambush. Four came to take her. They would have cut you down had the other breeds not been in the traffic behind you.
That growl sounded again, deeper, filled with greater fury.
I tolerate no attacks against those I claim. Mate. Brother.
His gaze moved to the entrance of the hall toward Cullen's room where he'd left Chelsea sleeping.
Sister. Cervez will pay for this, as will whoever sent that coyote to knife her.
Meaning Graham intended to cut a swath of blood and death through the Cervez compound. That was just what he needed, Cullen thought caustically. To have the monster everyone believed had left the States be seen tearing drug cartel members limb from limb. This was the last thing the breeds needed right now, at a time when both the criminal and non-criminal elements were still fascinated with their presence. And all because someone had dared to threaten part of his family.
I'm a big boy, Graham,
Cullen began to protest. Before he could finish the thought, Graham was out of his chair and in Cullen's face, an enraged snarl curling his lips.
My brother! My sister by mating!
Clawed fingers gripped the front of Cullen's shirt imperiously as rage hummed in the air around the creature.
We go now.
Cullen looked down at the hold his brother had on him, then back to the monster's furious gaze.
Where's Cat, Graham?
He asked patiently.
Does she know the monster's come out to play this morning?
Handling Graham while in this less than sane, primal state was never easy. And Cullen wasn't certain how he felt about the monster's belief that he could protect him. He was an adult now, not a kid, and Cervez was his fight.
I will kill Cervez.
The monster smiled, obviously relishing the thought of the cartel leader's blood.
Because of me?
Cullen questioned the threat dubiously.
You? Your mate? Their blood is mine.
The monster grated out in a serrated voice. Cullen rubbed at his forehead, fighting for patience as Graham released his shirt slowly, though his brother still glared at him with demonic green eyes.
Tell you what. Hide the monster in case Chelsea awakens and leaves the bedroom, and we'll discuss it.
He offered. Hell. It was too early for a drink, and this side of his brother almost demanded one. A rumbled growl of warning had Cullen grimacing in irritation.
He didn't need this. Not right now.
Damn it, Graham. I don't need you fighting my battles, and I sure as hell don't need your protection.
He snapped as he felt the primal's demand that he submit to its wishes.
Pull the fuck back. I'll deal with Cervez, and if you want to be a part of it, then you'll find your sanity and discuss it rationally.
The primal's roar exploded from Graham's chest, exploding with enraged violence and probably waking the whole damned neighborhood. There was no doubt it woke Chelsea. Before he could push past Graham and reach the hall entrance, the bedroom door flew open, and Chelsea raced from the room wearing nothing but Cullen's shirt, half-buttoned, the tail of which fell below her thighs. In her hands, she carried the black, highly lethal, not to mention illegal, fully automatic snub-nosed PDW she carried in her pack.
Whoa, there.
He caught her before she could lift the weapon on the primal breed, poised to eliminate any threat it encountered. Snagging the weapon from her hands with one hand, he caught her around the waist with the other, practically lifting her from the floor before she could attack Graham. Once she caught sight of the primal, she stilled in his hold, eyes widening before she blinked in amazement. Cullen wanted to curse in frustration.
"What is it?"
she whispered, her gaze locked with Graham's.
"And why aren't we shooting it?"
No fear. He could smell her shock, her inner demand for fight or flight. But there was no fear. She was staring at Graham. First his face, then the claw-tipped hands at his side. Her gaze went over the black shirt and dark pants he wore to the muted black boots, then back to his face, as wariness filled her expression.
"I try really hard not to shoot my brother, no matter the mood he's in,"
he informed her, holding her more firmly against him as she pushed at his arm in an obvious bid for freedom.
"That's Graham?"
She kept her voice at a whisper as suspicion filled it.
"You're lying. I've met Graham. He doesn't look like that."
The primal smiled with savage, bloodthirsty satisfaction, a growl rumbling in his throat. Shooting him a glare, Cullen wondered if investing in a whip and chair would do any good.
"Why is it smiling?"
she asked him, ignoring the snap of teeth and warning snarl Graham displayed.
"Give me my gun back. I think we're going to need it."
He glanced down at her with an irritable frown.
"No."
"Really?"
she hissed, incredulity filling the low tone of her voice.
"Look at it. It's insane. Give me my gun before it decides to bite you. Or me."
Graham's expression darkened at her statement, the stripes turning a deep, furious black.
"Damn it, Chelsea!"
Cullen cursed, holding to her as she wiggled against him.
"He's not going to bite anyone, and you're not shooting him."
Graham's lip lifted in a dangerous curl of impending violence, his incisor glinting ominously in the low light.
"Is it sane, do you think?"
she whispered, stilling against him as her hands gripped his forearm, her obvious fascination grating at his patience. Grunting at the question, he shot Graham a testy look, noticing the offended pride in his brother's expression.
"Not even on a good day. And stop calling him it."
"So what is it?"
She ignored the order as Graham's nostrils flared and the displeasure in his warning growls increased.
"You know I can hear you, right?"
he grated, the animalistic tone not quite as grating as moments before. She shot Cullen a surprised look before staring at Graham in supposed amazement.
"It can talk?"
"Chelsea,"
he muttered warningly, wondering at what point the primal would grow tired of the it title. If Graham's louder, harsher snarl was any indication, he was reaching the end of his patience. The sound was low, deep, a grumble meant to intimidate. It was all Cullen could do not to groan in resignation. Chelsea didn't do intimidated very well. She stiffened against him, and feminine outrage poured from her.
"Maybe it's hungry," she suggested, her voice low but definitely goading now.
"Do you keep kitty kibble around?"
Silence snapped in the room. Graham's eyes narrowed, the jade-green color glittering brighter and flaring with rage as he took a step closer and let loose another of those lethal roars. She didn't even have the good sense to flinch. Not that Cullen flinched, but he was used to them by now. Instead, Chelsea waited until Graham almost seemed to relax marginally at her supposedly submissive silence.
"I'm calling Kat and reporting its bad behavior," she whispered then, as though it were some secret and Graham couldn't overhear her. "Maybe she'll come collect it. Do you think?"
Cullen tried to push her behind him as Graham stepped closer, nostrils flaring, the primal's eyes flickering with impending retaliation.
"Kat will not be pleased with it," she said then, and surprisingly, Graham paused, frowning again.
"Do not threaten me,"
the grating voice ordered her in a harsh, guttural command.
"Then get from between me and my coffee. Your rude roars woke me up way too early, and no one should expect me to be nice under the circumstances."
She pushed at his arm again, and this time Cullen just let her go.
"Besides,"
she finished buttoning the shirt she wore,
"wild animals are supposed to be kept outside, not in the kitchen."
She made the comment so blithely, as though a killer weren't glaring at her, his rage building at the insult. Though at this point, Cullen was fairly confident Graham wouldn't lay a hand on her. Evidently, she was just as confident.
"Before your mate blinks, I could take your throat out."
Graham flexed his claws warningly, but Cullen could actually sense a hint of surprised amusement coming from the primal, an indication that his brother was gaining control once again.
"I'll be certain to include that threat in my list of complaints when I call Kat later."
She shrugged, then eyed him thoughtfully.
"I bet you're a blast at Halloween. Does Kat dress as your circus trainer?"
Cullen barely smothered the amazed laughter that would have escaped. The choking sound he made was a piss-poor disguise, though. Graham's primal markings were lighter on his face now, the claws retreating beneath his nails as irritation replaced the rage that had held him in its grip.
"No wonder Kat likes you,"
Graham grumbled, his voice sounding more normal now.
"You're as much a brat as she is."
"I'm actually better at it,"
Chelsea smiled as she snagged one of the cups of coffee Cullen had started when he first entered the kitchen.
"I taught her well.
You can thank me later, after I've had my coffee."
Chapter 14. From Graham's journal, The Recessed Primal Breed.
"Ah, mates, created with a heart and soul of such proud strength and wisdom. They are the breed's greatest treasures. For the primal, they are the only hope for sanity. The flame warming the icy logic only a monster can possess."
Cullen almost breathed a sigh of relief when Chelsea finished her coffee, ceased baiting Graham, and declared she was heading for the shower. He just knew that any moment the subject of the previous day's attack would come up, and Graham would once again declare his intention to go after Cervez, the cartel leader. And Chelsea was no one's fool. She'd instantly realized there wasn't a chance in hell Cullen was going to let the attack slide without some sort of retaliation as well, though his and Graham's ideas of retaliation strongly differed. When she left the room, Cullen sat silently waiting as he heard the bathroom door close. He stared back at Graham, then rested an arm on the table and pushed his coffee cup aside. He didn't bother to hide his irritation.
"She should be drinking decaf coffee," Graham said,
his gaze flicking to the coffee cup.
She informed me yesterday morning that if caffeine was a problem, then up the dose of the injection.
He scoffed, his lips coming close to an amused quirk at the memory.
She wasn't happy with either of us at the time, either.
A noncommittal hum met the news as Graham stared back at him knowingly.
You have something on your mind, Cullen?
His brother finally asked.
I can practically feel your displeasure whipping through the room.
Was it displeasure he felt? He didn't think it was. Graham had crossed a line this time, and if he let it go, Cullen knew his twin would just push harder if the chance arose again. When Cullen didn't immediately answer him, Graham finally gave a heavy grimace before settling back in his chair and crossing his arms over his chest to scowl at him.
Go ahead, little brother,
he invited irately.
Get it off your chest.
Well, at least his brother hadn't called him a recessed little snot again.
You will keep your monster contained where I'm concerned, Graham.
Cullen didn't demand it or make it an order. He made a statement of fact.
I don't need or ask for your retaliation as though defending a child from schoolyard bullies. Are we understood?
He couldn't remember a single instance in their lives when Graham had reacted so emotionally as to strike against him. A grumbled, less-than-pleased growl rose from the other breed's chest as his lip lifted in an irritated snarl.
We made a pact long ago to defend each other, Graham reminded him, his tone a warning grumble. Have you forgotten that?
His brother kept forgetting that those deep-throated sounds of dominant demand didn't work with Cullen. That only worked within a pack or pride when the one issuing it faced another, weaker breed. Cullen wasn't weaker, he just wasn't as crazy as his brother.
The pact, if you will recall, was to watch each other's backs. To defend one another, as you pointed out at the time, would mean certain death. As would retaliation.
Cullen injected without so much as a flicker in response when Graham's growl deepened.
And don't pull that alpha shit on me. You know it doesn't work.
The labs beneath the Brandon Moore Research Center had been a brutal hell most adults would have never survived, let alone two breed young. The experiments conducted there had often sent both Graham and Cullen howling in agony when they were allowed to howl. When they weren't medically paralyzed from doing so. They'd also begged for death more often than not. For a moment, Graham's gaze dropped to the table, one finger smoothing over the deep indents his claws had made earlier. Breaking Cullen's gaze didn't mean he was submitting to his brother's demands in any way, and Cullen knew it. It was more a sign of the memories they shared of a brutal past. Finally, Graham gave a heavy, somber sigh.
I won't try to explain the primal's emergence, nor will I apologize for it,
he finally said as he leveled his gaze back to Cullen.
I was out of town when the attack took place. I saw it on the news service no more than an hour before I arrived here.
He gave his head a light shake, a frown furrowing his brow.
I went primal the moment I saw you attempting to save your mate from Cervez's men.
Mocking acknowledgement gleamed in his eyes.
At least I came here first, rather than the Cervez compound, as I would have in the past.
There was that, Cullen agreed, albeit silently.
The very fact you did it concerns me more,
Cullen admitted, still not certain how he felt about the explanation.
I thought you had control of the primal since mating Cat.
Graham had spent far too many years immersed with the insane rage of instincts so primitive they defied any attempts to understand them. Graham's lips quirked at the comment.
Well, now, that was my belief as well,
he said rather mockingly as he rubbed at the side of his face, bemusement flickering in his gaze.
As I said, it just happened. An anomaly, I would guess. An anomaly?
Cullen gave a snort of amazed disbelief at the description.
I know what you were doing, Graham.
I don't need to be watched over or protected. As I said, I'm a big boy now. I know how to take my own vengeance, if such is needed.
He'd learned how to kill before he was 6, and after that, the creature they honed in those labs had learned how to do so with amazing effectiveness and complete secrecy.
And if you end up dead because some bastard thinks he can take your mate, or worse, your mate and your child, should she conceive?
Graham asked with a hint of anger now.
Am I allowed vengeance then?
Cullen shook his head slowly. The fear of just that had raised its ugly head with Cervez's attack. If something were to happen to him, he didn't want his brother risking his life and his own mate's security for vengeance.
If that happens, ensure Chelsea and our child's safety, if she conceives.
He blew out a hard breath as the thought of a child had his chest tightening almost painfully.
Vengeance is another matter, Graham. Trying to place a shield around me won't be tolerated. Don't cross that line again, especially not as the primal.
The insanity that creature lived within was more than Cullen could bear the thought of. It was a place Graham now needed to avoid at all costs. A sighting of the Bengal primal, as he'd been described when his primal genetics took over, would mean increased danger not just to Graham, but to his mate, Cat, as well. Breeds and the Council alike had once hunted the monster Graham had been, and those years had only caused his brother to sink deeper into the insanity that held him in its grip at the time.
No promises,
Graham shrugged, but Cullen read his twin's realization that it was now unacceptable. Then he leaned forward, bracing his forearms on the table, and glared at Cullen fiercely.
Do we go after Cervez together, or do I make my own plans? Because he and his blood queen will be brought to the realization that the continued good health and safety of you and your mate is in their best interests and those of their men. And that will happen with or without your approval or your partnership in the matter.
Because they were brothers. Because Cullen and now Chelsea were important to Graham, as well as the primal lurking within him. That determined stance Cullen accepted. After all, he'd already made plans to find Cervez himself and secure the assurance that Chelsea would never be threatened by the cartel again.
We can agree on that, Cullen nodded sharply. Get your team together. I'll meet you at the caverns after I drop Chelsea off at her meeting at the Bureau. It's best if she
attends that meeting with you.
Chelsea stepped into the kitchen from the corner of the hall, her arms crossing over her breasts, as she stared back at him with such defiance, he found himself making one of those testy, grating growls Graham was so fond of.
Not a good idea.
He rose slowly to his feet, wondering the best way to handle the determined challenge in her gaze, as well as her eavesdropping tendencies.
Happening,
she stated without anger. If she'd met his denial with anger, he might have been able to succeed in making her back down. The fact that she wasn't becoming defensive over the matter assured him he was in trouble now that she knew his intentions.
Damn it. The idea was to protect her, not draw her deeper into whatever danger seemed to be shadowing her. Not even on a bet,
he promised her, though he didn't feel nearly as confident as he appeared, and he knew it. She was under his skin now. He realized that in a moment of such shocking clarity, it was blinding. Under his skin, a part of him, and that weakened him, to the point that he knew rebuilding his defenses might not be very successful. Chelsea stared back at Cullen, all too aware of Graham's curious gaze as they squared off. She had known, known to the soles of her feet that he was silently plotting something when she'd left the room. She could sense it, almost feel his intentions as he waited for her to leave the room. And now she could feel him silently calculating the best way, exactly what to say, what to do, to ensure that she remained safely out of any vengeance he intended to exact. As if she was going to stand back on this one. That was two attempts against her, and this time they'd nearly succeeded. Whatever the hell was going on centered on her, not the operation she'd been working on. Cullen could just unruffle his breed fur and get over this whole me Tarzan, you Jane attitude.
Just a word of warning,
she informed him with a scornful look, before he had a chance to come back with an argument guaranteed to piss her off.
I will make certain you regret leaving me behind every miserable day of your existence if you do so.
Emphasis on the miserable there, bro,
Graham pointed out with less than helpful amusement. A little help from his brother would have been nice, but it wasn't really expected. Though, come to think of it, she had no doubt Graham's wife, Kat, would be right on his ass when he headed to the Cervez compound. Kat wasn't exactly the sit-at-home-and-be-safe type, and she'd be right by his side, with his eager agreement, no doubt.
Give it up, brother,
Graham advised him somberly, as he rose to his feet, ignoring Cullen's glare.
Like Kat, her spirit is far too wild and independent to be caged. Keep her at your side instead, where you'll know she's safe from the trouble she might consider getting into. You'll be happier for it.
And keeping her out of danger was proving to be rather impossible, Cullen realized, not really certain how he felt about the situation. He'd spent so many years trying to protect her that he wasn't certain how to go about just watching her back, let alone allowing her to walk into danger with him. Hell, it continued to amaze him that she didn't want to be protected or saved from the danger. She wanted to fight her own battles, and he was damned if he knew how to handle all that wild courage.
Plan to be at the caverns early evening, Graham stated then. I'll text you the exact time later. I want to get some intel on Cervez first and see what we're looking at.
Moving to the back door, he shot Cullen a gloating smile.
See you and your mate later.
The door closed quietly behind him and did nothing to drown out his taunting laughter once he was outside.
I knew you were plotting something devious before I ever left the room, Chelsea snapped as he rubbed at the back of his neck and shot her an implacable look.
I learned not to leave overprotective males alone together before I even hit my teens.
Her father and grandfather had been horrible about secretly trying to protect her, plotting and calculating, always searching for ways to make certain there were protective eyes on her at all times. Her early teens were an exercise in just finding somewhere to breathe without someone counting each breath.
Is that when you developed your eavesdropping tendencies?
He shot back, the brooding look on his face hiding more than it revealed.
It might occur to you one of these days that you're not invincible.
I never imagined I was invincible.
She arched her brow back at him smugly as she propped her hand on her hip, refusing to be intimidated by him.
What I am is well-trained, and you damned well know it.
Giving someone else control of my life isn't going to happen, Cullen.
Not now, not ever,
not even you. His eyes flared with anger then.
I don't want control. I want your safety.
On your terms,
she argued back, determined to remain calm.
On your terms, Cullen, not mine. Some trick of biology or chemistry may have ensured we're tied to each other, and I understand you hate the hell out of it, but I will not sit back and be something or someone I'm not. Even for you.
The chemical reaction wouldn't dictate her life. She'd already made that decision. She could handle being tied to him sexually for the time being, but she wasn't counting on him to stick around because she knew he didn't want to be here to begin with.
And if you end up dead because of something I could have prevented?
He asked, a haunted, shadowed look crossing his expression.
What then?
Then, unlike your first wife, I promise not to blame you,
she said, knowing the look for what it was.
I never asked you to save me, Cullen. I just wanted to fight beside you, If I can't have that much of you, at least, then what use is a mating or anything else between us? I accept you for the asshole you are. The least you can do is accept me for the woman I am, rather than the woman you can't forget. Lifting her chin with a small amount of pride, she turned on her heel and stalked back to the bedroom, and no doubt the shower, her accusation ringing in his ears. She thought he wanted Lauren back? That his need to protect her had something to do with whatever he might have once felt for his dead wife? And as much as the accusation stung, as much as he hated it, he wondered if she had a point. Not so much that he wanted his wife back, because that wasn't the case.